Emergency Commission on Section 158 of the Fireworks Act 1980, Coastal Bar and Dining Room, 14 extensions, Cowes, Idlewise, PO 3170B, reported or correct, is interim director, neighbourhoods, let's review. Yes, could you please confirm then?
Thank you, Chairman. Just a quick matter for me to confirm the procedure that's before committee today. So no party has the absolute right to cross-examine any other party. This hearing shall take the form of a discussion led by the authority, and cross-examination shall not be permitted unless the authority considers that it is required for it to properly determine the application. An equal maximum time will be given to the parties in which to present the case and provide any further information considered relevant to the application or to the promotion of the application. Persons speaking can amplify their original representations. The running order for today is that the licensing officer will summarise the report, and then you, the applicant, will get the opportunity to put your case to the committee before you then have the opportunity to sum up what you've already mentioned, and then the licensing officer will have the ability then to sum up the application and put it before this subcommittee, who will then retire to deliberate the application, and the decision will be given today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Move to the licensing officer to summarise the report, please. Sorry, can you hear me?
This meeting has been convened in order for members of the licensing subcommittee to consider objections to an application for a highway amenity permission, also known as a street furniture permit, for the Coast Bar and Dining Room on 14 to 15 Chiswell Hill, Cowes. Section 115B of the Highways Act 1980 provides the powers to allow local authorities to grant permission to a person to use objects or structures on, in, or over a highway. This application was originally submitted to the licensing authority on the 2nd of July 2018, but on receipt of the application, the Fire and Rescue Service commented that the application did not accurately reflect the items that were being placed on the highway at that time. A request was made for the applicants to provide further information, and on the 27th of July they responded stating that they had recently replaced the barriers and would forward new photos to the licensing department. These were received on the 3rd of August. Photos of the barriers that are now being used can be found at Appendix B on page B11 of the report. Cowes Town Council had already considered the application and had agreed to make no comment, but on the 2nd of August, the licensing department received an email from them raising concerns that they had consulted on an application that in reality was very different to that which they had discussed. It was therefore considered necessary to restart the consultation period in order to give all parties the opportunity to comment on an act or an application. The new consultation period commenced on the 8th of August and ended on the 12th of September. Cowes Town Council has now objected to this application on the grounds of public safety. They state that the placing of tables, chairs and barriers outside of the premises from 8:15 a.m. will force pedestrians onto the public highway, which vehicles are permitted to use before 10 a.m. A copy of their representation can be found at Appendix D. Cowes High Street is now a pedestrian zone between the hours of 10 a.m. and midnight, and from midnight until 7 a.m. The applicants were contacted and asked to consider the representation made by the Town Council. They were also asked if they would consider amending the application for the start time of 10 a.m. They responded, stating that the street furniture has been placed outside of the premises before 10 a.m. for the past 4 years without issue. They also state that new barriers pose less of a hazard to pedestrians, as they do not give the impression that it is possible for people to squeeze past them, and that in their view, having the barriers out before 10 a.m. poses no greater risk to the public than when Sainsbury's receive their deliveries and block sections of the pedestrian zone. In relation to the question posed by the licensing department as to whether the application could be amended to a 10 a.m. start, the applicants state that they would be unable to comply with a 10 a.m. start, as to do so would pose health and safety issues for their staff and customers. Their full response can be found at Appendix D on page B15 of the report. In order to attempt to find a solution and a compromise to the issues raised, it was suggested to the applicant that perhaps they could move the items outside till 8 a.m. but place them against the frontage of the building until 10 a.m. This would address their storage and stuff and staff health and safety concerns, whilst also maintaining a safe pedestrian route until 10 a.m. when the area becomes a pedestrian zone. Again, the applicant has expressed an unwillingness to do this, and is their belief that the premises will not appear open to the public. Island Roads have confirmed today that provided a 1.2 metre gap is provided from the bollards to the frontage of the premises, that they would be happy with this if they believe that this is achievable. The Town Council has considered the applicant's response but has advised the licensing department they wish their representation to stand. They have not sent a representative today but have asked that you consider their comments contained within the report. After considering the updated application, the Fire and Rescue Service raised no objections to the application. The concerns raised by Cowstown Council relate only to the placing of items on the highway between the hours of 8.15 and 10 a.m. and this is the issue that requires members' attention today. In determining the application, members may grant, refuse or modify the application. Thank you.
Thank you, Admiral. Can you you'd say 1.2 was what I would have said would be acceptable to highways, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. If there's a gap of 1.2 metres from the bollard to the front of the premises, they said they'd be happy with that, and they checked the system whilst it was on the phone to them, and they believed that that was achievable.
Thank you. Who will be presenting the case for the app? Is it Lewis Green or Amanda Bartholomew? Amanda Bartholomew. Good morning. Please go ahead.
Basically, looking into this a bit more in depth since first submitting our application, our barriers are actually counters, not barriers. So that's not covered by the street licensing at all. But to address Cowstown Council's objections, that we've taken various steps to ensure we're not causing any undue danger to the public. I've filled out risk assessments. I've monitored the high street, moving about the premises there. I've monitored the use of the high street with the pedestrians on a normal daily basis quite a few times, and they do prefer to walk down the middle of the high street anyway. There's no serious concern from our point of view with putting the furniture out between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. There's enough of a walkway and a stanceway either side for people to stand to wait for passing traffic. The way that the counters are posed out, there's enough movement to be able to get in between those counters should someone want to carry on walking and move in between them to get away from traffic. As Andrea quite rightly said, you know, from our point of view, it's more of a health and safety risk having these street furniture in the building till 10 a.m. and trying to manoeuvre them around people coming in and out of our building, other pedestrians that are using the high street. It is a lot more busier from 10 a.m. than it is between 8 and 10. And trying to manoeuvre those counters and street furniture around pedestrians is really not ideal, especially with toddlers running around, that kind of thing. There are a number of businesses that are closing down in Cowes. We're trying to create a presence of being there, being open, being vibrant, giving visual impacts to the high street in a positive way, not a negative way, to bring people here, to bring people around and create, you know, more custom for other high street vendors as well. Because it's not just for us. We want Cowes to be busy, we want Cowes to look nice, we want Cowes, people that come to Cowes to enjoy Cowes. And that's all part and parcel of it. It's not just what they get when they come inside the building. There is a great issue of the lighting on the high street, which is natural. There's nothing we can do about that. The lighting on the morning hits our high street and it reflects off our windows and you can't physically see into them. You can't see we're open. You can't see other people in there. So having that street furniture out and set up gives us a presence to say, we are here, we are, you know, we are open and you are welcome to come in. There are a high number of other public safety issues on the high street, such as sanitary littering in my correspondence to Andrea, with them blocking up the whole side of the walkway when they're bringing their cages in for up to 45 minutes at a time. People can't get down there. When I've taken pictures of the high street, when there's traffic coming up, people are placing mainframes and signs in between the barrier, the bollards, and their premises, which is stopping people walking down there full stop. So if there's traffic coming, and they're not monitored by the street licensing either. We've had this furniture out for a number of years. Yes, it has bent over the years, it has changed. It is very windy on that whole street. We've tried other barrier systems, and they just get wrecked. They get destroyed. The way the wind comes up that high street, it does sweep out. We pick these planters because they're a lot more stable, they're a lot more secure. There's less weathering issues, there's less tipping over issues. From our point of view, we picked a more health and safety cautious set of street furniture rather than just going in front of the mill. In the case of the fence, you know, we're always cautious. We know when the carnivores come in, we'll pull the furniture towards the building, we'll make sure that there's enough adequate room for people to stand and watch the carnivore or pass if they need to. And as I've said, you know, not having the street furniture outside of the Club building, which we have tried in the past, has been detrimental to our breakfast business. We are on a part of the high street where there's not generally much footfall unless people are coming from the chain ferry. A lot of people will get to Sainsbury's and I'll turn back around and go down the rest of the high street. This is giving us a presence, as I've said before, for people to come in and know we're welcome, they're welcome with open arms. And it encourages people further up, you know, they see a big vibrant building, they'll come a bit further up the high street and they'll see Jollyes, they'll see Tomino's, they'll see other restaurants and other shops that are around. As I've stated, we are a very cautious and very responsible business. We've carried out risk assessments, I've monitored the high street. If for any reason any of us have any doubts over this posing a serious threat to the public, we wouldn't be doing it. We wouldn't have it.
I hear what you say. I'm going to pass over now to Matt Benson, Councillor, and John Howe, and they may have questions of you.
Before we do, sorry to interrupt, Chairman, but I just have one point which needs to clarify and an observation which might help members. There was a submission made by the applicant here that planters are outside of the remit of the legislation. Now, I would disagree with that, and certainly my advice to the committee is that the planters have to be considered as part of this remit. Now, one of the reasons that I say that is that's actually counterproductive to your application here, because if planters fall outside of the remit of this legislation, you have no ability for them to be there at all, because it's an offence under the Highways Act, Section 137, to willfully obstruct the highway, and those planters seem like they would be something that's willfully obstructing the highway. So what this regime seeks to do is to bring what would otherwise be a criminal offence and pull it within the remit of something that is acceptable. And Section 115E, which your application falls under, permits those things to be there. And so what it does is it gives you, as a person who's put those there, if you are successful in obtaining your licence, a defence, if you like, to a criminal prosecution brought against you. If the Highway Authority comes along and says, well, those planters and chairs shouldn't be there, and it's an offence, and therefore we're going to bring a case against you. So the 115E licence permits those things to be there. So my advice to the committee is the planters are forming part and parcel of the application here before you, does fall under the remit of this licence. Two other points which I just quickly want to address, which is the submissions in relation to the Sainsbury's situation and the A boards. Those are things which this very regime seeks to address. And so the process that your licensing department members is going through at the moment in relation to things causing obstructions to highways seeks to resolve the issues of unlicensed, unpermitted obstructions to the highway. They're matters that aren't before you, and so I can only point you in the direction of the application that is before you today, and that report well addresses the issues. Other than that, that's my only comments at the moment, and I'm sure members will be very grateful for your time in making your presentation to committee this morning. But unless I can be of any further assistance, members, those are just my comments to you at this stage. Thank you.
Ms. Scott, that's really helpful. And do you understand the implications?
Yeah, I completely appreciate that. I only raised that because I couldn't find anything on planters at all in any of the website or any information from the council. So that's the only reason I raised it.
Thank you, Amanda. Ms. Regent.
Chair, before we have Amanda and to seek clarity, the actual street. The policy which relates to it does actually state that planters are exempt from the process. Doesn't exempt them from the legislation, but exempt them from our process. However, in relation to the policy, planters were deemed to be small plots, pot plants placed outside entrances, not large objects used to demark an area, which are really classed as barriers. And I believe that the word barriers were used frequently within the applicant's application. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on
that? No, absolutely fine. What's up?
Good morning.
Appendix B, we've got a picture here of the planters themselves, quite substantial in size and depth. I would imagine like skillful work, etc., and planters have been quite heavy. They are on the caster, I suppose. Would that be a loggable caster?
Yes, they are. There are four casters to each one. They are loggable, they're stable, and they're commercialised. They're the types of wheels that are used on Wiggins, big 11 litre 100 ones. So, yeah, we made sure that they're extremely durable and safe.
Any questions?
Okay, thank you for that. On that subject then, moving the actual objects would be quite a task, if you like. If that would just continue, moving the objects would be quite a task into and out of the building. If you compare what you've proposed here to what was there previously, the chrome poles and ribbons, as I take it, as regards to the storage issue, this system would be probably easier, more compact to store. Say compared to what you propose here with the planters?
Yes, you're correct. The reason we didn't opt to go back to them was because of the amount of wind we receive on that whole street. The fact that we were replacing them every less than 12 months, because, as I say, the wind pulling up there just destroys them so quickly. And then all the coast of us could be tipped over.
Thank
you very much.
We will consider those for the later vote. Councillor Howard.
Yes, Chairman, thank you. I'm quite interested in the planters actually. Presumably they will be planted out in plants all the year round?
Yes.
And they will be out. World away every day, so presumably accessibility to the tables and everything else, is that easy? If you tried it out, is it easy for people to get in there, people with disabilities and that, to access the tables to sit down with the planters there?
Yes, there's enough room to maneuver around.
Thank you very much, Jill.
Are there any further questions from the bench?
I just have
any further questions from my legal services, Mr. Scott?
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, one question, sorry, for the Licensing Department, actually. If members were minded to use their power to grant this licence subject to conditions, which it can do under the legislation, I'm mindful that there isn't sufficient detail in the application, it seems to me, to identify the number of tables and chairs. Are you satisfied that you have adequate detail under the application if it were Monday to grant, that we could tie the number of tables and chairs and planters to this licence if they wanted to grant.
We don't actually limit the number of tables and chairs. The applicant makes the application based on the area that they intend to use rather than the number of tables and chairs that they wish to put out.
Thank you very much.
So it's a matter of space as against the number of chairs and tables.
Chairman.
Councillor Howard, yes.
Could we actually find out, Chairman, whether how many planters there are altogether on this? It looks like there's two further up on the corner. Is there one, two,
yes,
three,
but
Amanda
Bartholomew, could
six?
You clarify the amount of planters that you have?
There are seven in total.
It's
seven.
But that is what I counted. It's seven or
seven. Well, I've ten. Six.
There is one across the top. That's
right.
Like you've got one towards the south. I say south because it's at the bottom. It's very lazy. That bit at the bottom, you've got one that comes out, if you like, horizontally from the property. And then you've got one that does exactly the same as the top.
Thank you, Jim. Just a question, play devil's advocate tonight. Compared to the planters to the poles, the planters to where you can see that needs a lot more space for that particular area. Do you think that would be more beneficial to the planters were there? If you'd be able to get more tables and chairs on that particular area, would that affect
the
business?
If we use the old barrier system, we can actually fit probably the more tables and chairs there. We've never been that pushing. We've always stuck to six tables. It's always been six, and it would be six with this barrier system, as though it was within the barrier system. We just feel we weigh out the safety, the space, the access to push chairs, etc. So it's not just a squeeze as many tables in as we can get.
So I think, and I think from your perspective, that's taking words of math, it's a matter of you valuing your customer's amenity, isn't it? So with that particular design of planter, that's more attractive to people.
More attractive to
people
moms with
toddlers,
because they can get in there in the summer with their fish chairs and sit with their children.
Yeah.
And feel secure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there any further questions from the license department, from my legal officer, or from the...
No, Chairman, I'll stop speaking now.
Right. Very helpful, Mr. Garth. I now move forward now. Would you like to sum up, please, what you've heard and what you said about an opportunity to have a sum up? It's in reverse order.
Yeah, so, as I said previously, we do this because it's part of our brand, it's part of our company. It's part of offering that extra bit of custom, and if we did believe there was any detrimental, serious cause for harm to the public just by having this, we would do it. And for the past 6 years since we've been open 8 years, we've always had street furniture to some extent. We've learned, we've grown, we've matured, and everything's changed with that. And this is just one of those things that has changed and progressed with the company. It is all about our customers. It is all about the general public. We want them to feel happy, welcome. And it's all about our staff as well. So I think that's what it's saying.
Thank you, Amanda. Last but not least, we'll give that to someone, please. Thank you.
It is conditional on street furniture permissions that street furniture is removed from the highway outside of the permitted hours, and as you heard from the applicant, they confirmed they have the ability to do this. In making its decision under section 115E, the committee should have regard to the Iron White Council's permission policy for the placing of tables, chairs and other objects on the highway. The licensing department has attempted to find a satisfactory resolution to this issue, but unfortunately the applicant has been unable to agree to either of the compromises proposed. It is the view of the licensing department, therefore, on the grounds of public safety, this application should be reviewed based upon the applicant's inability to comply with the pedestrian zone commencement time of 10 a.m. The Highways Act 1980 did not allow any appeals against the decision of the council in relation to a refusal to grant a street furniture permit. Members may grant the street furniture permit as per the application. Grant the street furniture permit as per the application with any additional conditions or modifications that the subcommittee deem reasonable and proportionate, or you may refuse the permission. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we now will retire to make a decision. Where are we going to retire to?
I think we will find somewhere to go, Chairman. Just so you know, the committee will now retire to make its decision. We'll find somewhere to make a decision. That might maybe there, maybe a meeting room. We'll then come back after we consider the application and give you the decision immediately.
Is that understood?